This is Joan Weaver at the Kinsley Library, and it's October 6, 2014, and I'm interviewing Catherine Hattrup today. Catherine, can you tell us your full name?
Catherine Elaine Gleason Hattrup.
And when were you born?
October the 25th, 1925.
And where were you born?
At home in Hodgman County.
Can you tell us a little bit about your family at that time, about your mother and father and the place where you live?
Well, we had a nice home.
Did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I'm number five.
You're number five.
Yes.
So were there boys or?
Well, I had one sister and three brothers, and then I came. And then after me was another sister and a brother.
So you had a large family. Was your father a farmer? Or?
Yes.
And what kind of a farm did he have?
Well, he raised wheat, oats at that time, and of course feed or sorghums for the cattle. He had a lot of cattle and horses, all farming at that time, or almost was done by, a lot of it was done by horses. I don't remember when he got his first tractor.
What do you remember about your childhood? We're going to be talking about your childhood because you were a child during the Dust Bowl, but
well, while I was a very outdoor girl, I did not want to be in the house. That wasn't my, I loved horses and I wanted to ride, and I did. Dad always had two or three riding horses, and there was always one especially gentle for us. It wasn't always saddled, but that didn't make any difference. I would just go and get her out of the barn, or if it was Spot, well, I got him out, and I could put the bridle on, and I would take him down by the fence, and I'd get on the fence and then get over on Spot, and away we'd go. And one thing I remembered about my young days was we did not have a mailbox by our place, and we had to go over to my grandmother Gleason's place for our mail. It came in. The mail carrier, or the mail route, was by her house, and our mail was left there. And so I would take one of the horses and ride over every day and get the mail.
Well,
and also go in and see grandmother.
That brings me to another question. Were your grandparents the original people who came to Hodgman County, or was there a generation before them? Or how did your family get to Hodgman?
Well, grandmother would have been my dad's mother, and yes, she came from Chicago, but I don't know if my great-grandfather was out here. Probably he was, but I never knew him.
You said they were Irish?
Yes, both sides of my family.
What's the other family name?
My mother's maiden name was Helen Scanlon. Well, and her father died when she was very young, and her mother remarried, and she married John G. Burke.
Okay. But they must have been pretty early residents of Hodgman County.
Yeah, probably... I don't know for sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Early.
Okay, so you liked riding a horse. Did you have other chores when you were a girl? That wasn't a chore.
Oh,
that was a delight.
Yes, that was not a chore, because I loved doing that, yes. I was to help gather the eggs. My brother Morris and I were, I think, elected to do the minor chores, like getting the eggs, feeding the chickens, and feeding the pigs sometimes. and it was our duty to bring the milk cows in so they could be milked.
So you didn't do the inside chores like you grew up?
Not until I had to. I was about, well, I probably was around 9 years old when my sister insisted teaching me to help in the house because she was going to be getting married and mother didn't have another girl. But that did not suit me. I did not like housework.
Was that a lifelong thing? Or did you grow out of that?
Well, I grew out of it. But I remember mother saying, I just don't think you'll ever know how to keep house or do anything in the house, because I always, especially when the weather was nice, like spring or summer, I would get up early and grab an orange and get out of the house so mother and my sister Alice Marie wouldn't stop me, because I wanted to get on the horse and follow whatever dad was doing. If he was out in the field, I would try to find the right field so I could just follow him around.
Did you keep that love of horses all your life and being outside?
Yes, I even when I was in high school, I liked riding the horse, and I had a good friend that lived a couple of miles from me, and we would get together on Sunday, and we had two riding horses, so I'd have her ride one and I'd ride the other, and we'd go riding in the afternoon, usually on Sunday.
How about school? Where was the school?
The school was St. Mary's, a one-room school, built of stone, just like the church, only we were just across the road from the church, and it was where I went for all my 8 years of school. I don't remember how many students were there. I just know that there were just myself and my friend, Mary Catherine Tenbrink, and we were in class together. Later on, I think around the fourth or fifth grade, there were two others in our class, I think four of us then.
Is Tenbrink spelled T-E-N-B-R-I-N-K?
Yes.
Just like it's done. Uh-huh.
There are, I don't think any of her family are around here, but I know there was a Tenbrink in Kent and Spearville, and I'm sure there's some relative.
Mm-hmm. It's an unusual name.
Yes.
How far was the school from your house? And how did you get there?
Oh, let's see. 1, 2, 3 miles. First, it was a buggy. I remember having to sit on the floor of the buggy because there was my three older brothers.
Did they do the driving of the buggy?
Uh-huh, mm-hmm, yes.
And then there was a place to leave the horse and buggy while you were in school.
Yes, at the school there was a barn, and my oldest brother, Thomas, took care of the horse. And, of course, when they had blizzards, the road would be blocked. My dad would take us in a wagon and sometimes have to take the fence down, and because the road was so drifted that we'd go through a field. We almost always got to school, I think.
Now, this was a Catholic school?
Well,
or was
no,
it a... It wasn't.
No,
it was, it was
actually, I probably all the children that were in school, if I can remember right, we're Catholics, because it's the community there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was taught by
layperson. Yeah. Yes, mm-hmm. We had different teachers. A cousin of my dad's was my first teacher. At that time they allowed you to take more than one grade,
mm-hmm.
and I took my first and second grade in 1 year. They don't do that, and haven't done that for ages.
Do you have any other memories of the school? And was it heated with a coal or wood fire?
Oh, yes. Just a stove at the front, kind of in the middle of the room. towards the front. Well, it wasn't exactly, wasn't in the middle either. It was more to the front. And yes, it was coal and wood, and the teacher would try to bank the fire at night. So when she or he came in the morning, they could just put some more in and get the fire going before the kids came. And as I told my children and grandchildren, we didn't have a bathroom in there. We didn't have running water. The teacher would go out and pump a bucket full of water and bring it in and set it in there, and then we used that for our drinking. We had, some of us had cups of our own. I don't remember if everybody did, but there was a dipper, and you could always get a drink.
And you took your lunch.
Yeah, and we took our lunch, and my lunch pail, I can remember, was like the gallon syrup can, and my brother too. That was it. That was our lunch pail. And we always had food.
Yeah, because you were born right before the Depression.
Right.
And,
And I remember the Dust Bowl. Okay. But it wasn't as bad as what I have read in some of these books.
What do you remember?
Well, probably the one thing that really stayed in my mind was the storm on Palm Sunday. I think it was April 14th, I think. I don't, is that 1935?
Right. That's correct.
I was 9 years old, and I was at my grandmother Gleason's house. Of course, I was over at her house a lot. And I remember her, I loved her house, and her house was a big two-story, and it had a wraparound porch. Mm-hmm. And she went out on the porch. I don't know whether she had been listening to the radio or what, but she came back in, and she said, "Oh, my, there's a horrible black cloud. I don't know what it is. It's coming this way." And she said, we must close up all the windows and doors. And she said, "We must pray." I don't know. And of course, I was afraid it was the end of the world. Well, I was scared. Mm-hmm. And we prayed. Okay. And I do remember that it got so dark that she had to turn the lights on.
And that was in the afternoon, right?
Yes, I think it was somewhere between 4 and 5 o'clock. I just don't remember. But I know it was afternoon. We'd been in there. And I don't remember when I went over there, whether I stayed there after church on Sunday. A lot of times I would do that. Then Dad would come and get... And I don't remember if my brother was with me, because he and I were together a lot, Morris and I. I don't remember that.
How long did the storm last?
That I don't remember. I just remember that we had to have the lights on. And then I remember my dad saying the chicken sinks at night because they went to roost. Mm-hmm. Okay, check that.
Did the dust come into the house?
Oh, my goodness, yes. If you had a field near you, or even just the roads would be dusty. Yeah, it would come in. And then we'd have to... Mother would have, I did have to help them, whether I liked it or not. I had to. I'd have to go around and clean out the windowsills, and if it sifted under the doors. And I remember Mother, she always had to keep everything covered. She never used a dish or a pan without rinsing it out and making sure that there was no dust.
Did you ever wear a mask?
No, I never did. And it, at school, it would be, you came to school, you had to clean off your desk every day. And then at times there was a field right next to it and it had blew. And I remember the teacher asking us if we could bring some old towels or pieces of sheets so that she could, or he could wet, because sometimes we had men. I can't remember which one was my teacher at that time. I think it was maybe a man, but I'm not positive. Anyway, children brought things, and then they'd make those cloths wet and lay them in the windowsill, because the windowsill would be about like
So you're indicating four inches?
3 or 4 inches wide, and they'd lay those down to think desperate. Yeah, and sometimes it would be really bad, and that we'd, school would close, and folks would have to come get us.
Did you ever get caught and have to stay at school?
No, never did.
And how would your parents know? Because 3 miles would take you a little while to get there.
Well, I'm just thinking, I don't remember for sure. I know my grandmother Gleason had a telephone. But my dad didn't, so I think probably Dad went over and checked with grandmother. He was over there. See, we were about a mile, maybe not quite a mile and a quarter from grandmother.
Did she live alone, or was your grandfather still alive?
I think my Uncle Leo and Aunt Ruth Gleason lived there with them. I think her son left. I think he did. I know Aunt Ruth was there probably at that time, because I remember going over for the mail, and I always had to go in and see. I just wouldn't go without seeing grandmother and Aunt Ruth, and many times they would have baked some fresh bread, and grandmother would say, "Would you like a piece of fresh bread?" "Oh, it smells so good." So she'd always fix me some bread and butter and jelly, and like a sandwich, you know.
What kind of jelly?
I think it was probably grape. I just don't recall.
Maybe store-bought, or did they have grapes?
They would buy grapes and make their, they made their grape. My mother made lots of grape jelly, because that was the favorite of the family. And sometimes she would make some, I think it was peach butter, I guess was.
You did a lot of canning and that sort of thing?
Well,
at your home?
Mother, I can remember this had been when I was just in the eighth grade in high school. She would can plums and peaches and pears. And I, as I told the kids, I can remember there'd be a man going through the country selling apples and oranges, and my folks always insisted we have fruit. Dad would buy a bushel basket of apples and a bushel basket of oranges. And I don't know how they kept them. It didn't seem to me like Mother was throwing away any of them to speak of, but I remember that they would put them in the basement where it was cooler. That's about the only thing I can do.
Did you have a truck garden?
No,
vegetables?
No. My dad said Mother had enough to do taking care of the children.
Right.
And he said, "I don't have time to do it." He had his cattle and horses and crops to take care of, and that was it.
Do you remember any crop failures?
This must have been during the Depression, because I just remember him telling saying that the wheat, he only got 25 cents a bushel for it. And I remember we didn't have much crops. There was one year, and I do not remember what year it was, but there wasn't anything in the wheat field except where the draws were. And that wheat was what Dad, and at that time, my older brothers had gone out someplace to work for somebody else. And so he told me to get on the tractor and pull that combine. He was going to get on the combine. I looked at him and I said, "I don't know how to drive that tractor." He said, "I'll teach you how." So we went out in the fields, and that's the only place. And he didn't even get a truckload. Of course, at that time, that was I don't know what year truck was, but it was an old International and probably not even half the size of a regular farm truck now. And I remember telling Mother, "Oh, I didn't even get a truckload of wheat today." It was tough, but like I say, it wasn't as tough, I don't think, out here as it was in the Panhandle, like around Dalhart and all those. I've read that book. I don't know how they existed.
I know. But now, he had cattle. Did he have feed for the cattle?
Well, I don't remember what, he must not have had very much, but I do know my brother Morris and I had to herd the milk cows, especially, out in the ditches, because there was weeds there and it was green, and so we would herd the milk cows. And we did herd a few of the other herd cattle, but I don't remember, not like we did the milk cows. And I remember Dad mowing the Russian thistles, mm-hmm. so that he could feed those to the cattle. And I thought, oh, how can they eat them with those stickers on there? Mm-hmm. I don't know how he fixed them. I just remember him cutting them, they would mow it, and then they'd stack them, and they'd use that to feed the cattle.
Was most of the ground broken? I mean, it had been plowed?
Yeah, all of our, my dad didn't break out anymore. It was just what it was already there.
But did you have some that wasn't? So
wasn't broke out? Uh-huh. No, not that I know of. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I know Dad, we had a section of land there that the home place was on, and I don't remember if he may have, I don't know if he rented any at that time or not, but I know later on he did rent some land. But at that time, of course, I was 9 years old. Maybe I didn't know everything.
Right. Well, yeah, and I'm trying to think if he'd lost his income, and you had all these siblings.
Yeah.
And but he was still able to provide.
Yes. Yes. And I can remember him telling Mother one time, he said, if I didn't have the cattle, I don't think I'd be able to put food on the table, he said. So he did sell, a cow or two or something. I don't, of course, they had calves, but yeah. I don't remember the price of them or anything.
No,
it wasn't very good, I'm sure.
And you would probably butcher hogs or cattle and chickens.
Well, I was going to say, we had chickens, we had the hogs. And I remember that they did butcher a beef, and I can remember how they did butcher a hog. And like I said, we always had the chickens. So we ate all right. We didn't have the vegetables, but I know Mother did buy canned vegetables. And when she bought, she bought several cans at a time because she never knew if she'd get back to town.
Oh. Yeah. Town did you trade in?
Well, in Kinsley. And see, our home is, it's at least 17 miles out there, 17 or 18. And we were located like halfway between Jetmore and halfway between Kinsley, Dad said. And at that time, I don't remember. Later on, I know there was a grocery store in Offerley that we would go to, especially during harvest time when you wanted to be sure and have everything ready at noon, because I was old enough then to drive the car, and mm-hmm. I could drive to Offerley to the grocery store.
Where did you take the wheat?
Belfont. Mm-hmm. And they still do.
You're sort of out there in the middle of...
Yes. Yeah, right.
Nowhere or everywhere, I don't know.
Well, I don't think that there was an elevator at Hanston, but I don't remember Dad going there very often. I just remember Offerley most, or Belfont.
Mm-hmm.
Belfont.
I had another question. Let me think about that.
That was a good road, I guess, leading from St. Mary's Church down to the Highway 50, then into Belfont.
How often did you get to go to town?
You know, I don't remember, except I don't know whether it was at this, I might have been this age or maybe a little older, but I remember when we did get to come to town, if we were good, Mother would say, now if you be good, I'll get you an ice cream cone before we go home. That was a wonderful treat.
Did you ever get to go to the movies?
I was in the 7th grade before I saw my first movie.
What was it?
I think it was The Trail of the Lonesome Pine. And I think the teacher was having that storybook read, or she read it to the kids, in school. I can't remember for sure, but I know she wanted us to see it, and we did get to see it.
Mm-hmm. We didn't get seventh grade is about 13, I think, so 25, 35, so 38, somewhere. So it still was in the Depression, Dust Bowl type days. You don't remember what your ticket cost, do you?
No.
Or popcorn or anything.
Maybe a quarter, I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know, I found the ads in the paper, but they don't put the price in there.
They didn't put the
price,
I don't remember.
And so I've got to find that out.
No.
What do you remember about, like, Christmas at this time? How did your family celebrate Christmas?
Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, that was always over at Grandmother Gleason's, while Grandmother lived. She always had a room that she called the library, and in that was, there was a great big tree always, and it was a real tree, you know.
Cedar or or pine? I mean, was it...
No. I don't know.
I mean, around here we have cedar trees and
yet,
sort of. Grew.
I don't know whether it was. It was just a beautiful Christmas tree. And, oh, it was decorated, always so pretty. And that was where our Christmas, all our presents. And of course, at that time, Santa Claus came. He was a real person to me. He was real Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
We look forward to it.
Now, what kind of gifts did you get from Santa or the family?
I was a real tomboy, and I wanted everything just like what my brothers had. And I remember the first doll I got. I don't remember how old I was, but I was very, very disappointed. I did not want that doll. I wanted a truck or a tractor. Now, I don't think it was a tractor, but I wanted a truck. I wanted whatever the boys had, because I was always with them. I played whatever they did. They were out in the ground making fields and using little twigs and sticks to make different fields. And I would be out there with them with all those, their toys.
Uh-huh. What was Christmas dinner like?
Christmas dinner was at Grandmother Gleason's, and of course Mother fixed something, but there would be my Uncle Leo's family, but he did probably had one or two children at that time, and Aunt Mame and her family, and my dad, and I think my Uncle Mike. My Uncle Mike Gleason was in, well, maybe not in the real early days, but later on he married, and of course he'd have been there if he was single, but I can't remember that. It had to have been after after the Dust Bowl days, but that was her children she had, or she had lost babies with my dad, my Uncle Mike, Uncle Aunt Mame, Uncle Leo. We had four families together. But it was always, we just looked forward to it. And after Grandmother died, it was Christmas just wasn't the same for a long, long time.
Were there traditional foods, or?
No, I don't. No, we always had turkey. I don't think there was anything particular.
Nothing left over from Ireland, or?
No, I don't think there was. Uh-huh. I know there was one. My dad, one of his favorite pies was mincemeat pie. As far as I was concerned, anything was good. And I know Mother or Grandmother made what was called a date bar. Mm-hmm. It was a dessert, mm-hmm. And I really liked that. But some of people didn't like the dates.
No, I like those were two of my mother's favorite. My mother always made mincemeat pies, and I think that went back in her history from England. But and she had a date cookie that I really liked.
And I don't know if they made their own mincemeat. Somebody asked me that, and I don't know that. I just don't know. But Grandmother may have.
Yeah. Well, sure, with the hogs and everything, because I think lard is, is one thing, so she may very well have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And you hung up your stocking, or not? Did you have a stocking for Santa?
No.
No?
We didn't have that. Not I don't ever recall. But we always had, and we had to share gifts. I remember we would get games, or the boys would get a game, and Santa Claus would write on her, "This is for all your brothers and sisters."
To play together.
Yes.
So you survived this time of very few crops and that sort of thing. Do you remember, did you ever build any shelter belts? Or did the government help you at all?
No, Dad did not have a shelter belt. And I don't know that he ever... Well, I don't know if it was around that time. You know, there were some government programs came out for farmers. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dad saying that, oh, he hated to see the government get involved. But I think probably he did have to, because I remember there was a time when, I want to say, a certain amount of land had to be laid out, mm-hmm. and not planted. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the government's rule. Mm-hmm. And Dad did abide by those things.
Yeah, and then they gave the farmer some money for not planting.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and that got people through.
I don't remember what year that was, but I just remember hearing him talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I was probably pretty small or mm-hmm. young enough that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I heard the conversation.
Okay, and then we get up into the early 1940s when things started to turn around, but then the war came along. What do you remember about the war start? Do you remember Pearl Harbor?
Oh, yes.
What were you doing?
Oh, yes, I do remember that very plainly. I was at St. Mary the Plains Academy. I was a senior.
That's in Dodge City?
Yes, that's the old, mm-hmm. old academy. And it was on a Sunday, and... It was a, we had a dormitory. And
now, is this high school or?
Yeah, this high school.
High school, you were boarding?
Yes, I went there, my freshman and sophomore year, I went to Spearville to school, high school. And then my junior and senior, I went to the St. Mary of the Plains Academy. Because in those days, a girl was not... Well, according to my dad, I shouldn't be driving a car all by myself. And I was not to be riding with other boys that weren't my brothers.
You could drive a tractor, but you by yourself, but not a car.
Yes. And that particular Sunday, after our chapel was in one building, and after Mass, we were walking and breakfast, we walked back over to our rooms to change into other clothing if we wanted to. We had to wear our best dress to church, and we could change. We went back to our rooms, and it was so sultry and so quiet. It was, in a way, pretty, but it was hard to get breath, it seemed mm-hmm. like. And then after that, after we finished over there, of course, we were there most of the morning, and then it was time for lunch, so we went back over to the administrative building, because that's where our cafeteria was. And that evening, that particular day was known as Mother's Day, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was the mother of Jesus, and we always honored her with a special service. And so that evening we were in chapel for about 30 minutes, and we were finished just for the service. And then we were to go down into the rec room, which was like in the basement. And we were there when a storm, it was lightning and thundering. And the lightning was just flashing constantly. And I was standing looking out the window watching the rain. It was just like somebody was pouring a bucket of water. It was just coming down in sheets. And the nun that was taking charge of us, it was always one of the nuns always with us, and she said, "Catherine, get away from that window." And I said, "Well, sister, I just want to watch it." She said, "That lightning is terrible. You go back." And I said, "Okay." So then about that time, the principal came, and she said, "I need two girls." So I was appointed in another to go up to the chapel and get our songbooks out of there. And as we got to the door, our principal was right there. Oh, girls, don't go in. Please don't. And she'd go back downstairs. And so down we went. The wind had gotten so strong, and it was uprooting a tree right out in front. Mm. She saw that. And the man that was the maintenance man, she had told him to hold the door shut. And when he saw that tree being uprooted, he said, I didn't think there was any need me to hold the door shut. So he went out, he went going to go out the west door, and we girls went down the steps. The black carpeting, you know, the rubber mat, mm-hmm. it blew the door open, or sucked the door open, and that black carpeting followed us down the basement. That's when the tornado was really taking place. But the chapel, the roof of the chapel was taken off, but there was absolutely nobody really hurt. Mm-hmm. One of the nuns got some cut on the wrist for some glass, but there were other lay people there too, and they were all huddled up in a place in the hallway in the main building where all the girls were downstairs. It just only lasted a few minutes. But there were four girls sitting in a car out that just outside of that west entryway, waiting for the driver to take them. We had day students, and he was going to take them back home. Well, when he went to go out to get the car was not there. It was back north, I don't know how many. I don't remember the exact amount of distance it was, but it was sitting on its wheels. And there was nobody really hurt in it. One girl, there was one, a glass had just cut her wrist a little bit, but that was
so
all.
So the tornado had picked up the car and moved it, yes, with the girls in it.
Yes, with the girls in it. And then he took those girls home, and the girl's mother scolded her for being late. And she said, what were you doing? And so Mary told her mother, and her mother didn't believe her. She said, Mother, we were in a tornado. Oh, you were not. See, Dodge City didn't know anything about this tornado that was out north of town until a little later.
The academy was a little north of Dodge City.
Yes, and no, we did not get to go back into the our rooms, because they said that the firemen felt the building was not safe. So our parents had to come and get us that night.
And this was when you said you were a senior?
Yeah,
1942. And in the spring?
May the 8th.
May the 8th, 1942. Mm-hmm. Well, you do remember that one. I would too, I think. And so was that the end of the school year then?
Oh, yes. We did. The seniors did not get a prom. They did not have graduation. We did not have final tests. Sister just sent the diplomas to us.
And this was an all-girls school.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And was it more than the junior and senior year? Was
yes,
it?
Freshmen. There was the 4 years, and they were all our teachers were nuns.
And about how big was your class?
There were 13 in mine.
Uh-huh.
13 girls. Two of them were nuns. They had joined before they finished their high school, and they were there in high school then.
Do you have any other memories of that academy that would be fun to record?
Well,
got a good education?
Yes. Our meal, we never went hungry, but I learned to eat some vegetables that I never had before because there was only enough food. Let's see, there was, I believe, six of us at a table. And there was usually just enough food to go around that you could have a serving and maybe a little bit more. So, but we always had a good homemade bread and wonderful cinnamon rolls. But the meat was not always, most of the meat was, if it was good meat, you know, beef or pork, it was farmers who had girls there that provided the sisters with the meat. Otherwise, we had a lot of hot dogs and a lot of bologna. But we were all healthy.
So we started out on December 7th when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. Where mm-hmm. were you?
That was that day.
That, oh, no, December 7th.
Yes. Yes, I was there. Mm-hmm. And we had been, that was when we came back from church mm-hmm. is when we heard it on the, and we were walking, we were between those two buildings.
Is there any other memories? Did you have a service or anything?
Yes, we did. We went back over. We had a service later in the afternoon, just for that, for pray for the world and all of it was. I remember we just wondered what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And you had older brothers.
Yes, so. And my oldest brother wasn't physically able. He had one leg shorter than the other.
You need a drink? Hmm? Would you like a drink?
No, I'll be all right. I think my second brother was in college. He was at Fort Hays, and he went to service. He was in the Air Force. He was stationed. I don't know if he was stationed in China, but I know he was very sick and in a hospital in China, and he had dysentery, and they did not know if they were going to save him. But one of his beds, just I think it was when they were moving him from one place to another, was just a board. No mattress, no nothing. Uh-huh. And he was sick for a long time. I remember my mother, she was just so sure he would never come home alive. And how she did pray. We all prayed. And I think my mother just prayed almost constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I know my dad said that's when mother really aged, he said, was James was, and this was Marty Leeson's dad
mm-hmm.
that was over there. And then Morris joined, he went in, but I don't remember what year, and he was in officer's training school in Lawton, Oklahoma, but he never had to go overseas. It ended before he had to go overseas.
Did you know your husband to be at this time, or
no.
You hadn't met him yet.
Well, let me think.
Or how did you meet him? We can go to that story.
I think I did meet him. I don't remember if I met him before he went over. I actually met him at a dance at Windhorst. At that time, the Knights of Columbus in Windhorst, Knights of Columbus in Spearville, and Knights of Columbus in Wright took turns having dances on Friday night or Saturday, probably Friday nights, I think. I don't think it was Saturday, because in those days you were not supposed to be out on Saturday night. You're supposed to be getting prepared to go to church Sunday. And I think that Gene was going to service, and then I, of course, never saw him, and then until afterwards. And it was really the first time I saw him was at Spearville at a Knights of Columbus dance, and it was in the winter time, but I'm not real sure. But the time that I had my first date was on Valentine's night, and that was at St. Peter and Paul. They had a dance there, and that would have been in 1946, I guess. I was teaching school in Offerley. I was teaching first, second grade.
Well, then let's go back a little bit. You went to the academy, and then did you go on to a normal school?
Yeah, I went to Sacred Heart Junior College. It's now Newman University.
Ah.
It was Sacred Heart Junior College, and it was strictly girls. Uh-huh. And I went 2 years there. Got my teacher's certificate, which at that time was called a 60-hour state certificate. And at that time, it was one of the best certificates you could have, because you could teach, and it could be, if you taught, forgotten. Anyway, I didn't have to go back to school. I could teach. It seemed like it was 3 years, and then it would automatically, I'd have to apply, and it was automatically renewed. Mm-hmm. I might be a little mistaken about how that worked, but I know I did not have to go back to school for several years. But I did go back, take some summer work later, and I taught from, I first taught in 44. I started teaching in the spring of 44, and I taught in a little summer school, a one-room school called Fullerton in Hodgman County, and I was there 1 year, and Oferly had an opening, and I always wanted the little ones, and they had an opening for first and second grade, and I applied, and I got the job, and I taught, I guess it was 3.5 years before we were married. We were married in 47, yeah. And I didn't teach after that. I could have. I wanted to, but Gene wouldn't let me. He said, no, I am supposed to support you. No.
Well, now this goes back a little bit, but your parents obviously had a... felt that you should be educated.
Oh yes, that was very important. All of us. My sister went, the oldest one, Alice Marie, she went to St. Mary of the Plains Academy. She graduated. My two brothers, Thomas, James, and Morris, all graduated from Spearville.
And then some went on to college.
And and then I graduated from St. Mary of the Plains Academy. My brothers were at Hayes. Dad thought I would want to go there, and I said, no, I don't want to go there. He said, well, where do you want to go? And I said, I want to go to Wichita, Sacred Heart, because I had several classmates going there. So I went there, and I went 2 years. And then my sister, younger than I, graduated from Mount Carmel High School in Wichita, and then she went to Fort Hays and graduated from there. My brother Marvin did not go to college. He graduated from Spearville. Mm-hmm. So we all had it. Yes, my dad believed in education, and even when he was young, he believed in it. But his father had died, and Dad couldn't go to college, but grandmother had him repeat his eighth grade so that he would have more education.
How about your mother? How far had she gone?
Well, we don't know too much. She went to high school, but we don't know whether she graduated. We don't know much about my mother's family. Her mother was not one to give out any kind of information. We never ever knew. And mother's father died when she was a young girl. But she was born here in the United States, so was Dad, but their ancestors were all from mother was born in Chicago.
That is something to have that emphasis on education.
Yes, at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, we were very fortunate, I always said. Didn't always think so, because I didn't always want to go to school, but then it was best for me. I always said my dad and mother knew what was best for me. And you know, you didn't argue with them. You did what they told you. Not like kids nowadays.
So what was your wedding like?
Well, it was probably one of the happiest days of my life. It was a very nice wedding. And of course, different than what it is nowadays. It was 8:30 in the morning out at St. Mary of the Plains. Not St. Mary of the Plains, St. Mary's, Hodgman County. And of course, everything was held at my mother and dad's house. We had breakfast there. Then we came to Kinsley to have our pictures taken in a studio.
Do you know what studio that was?
Stutzman. And then we went back home and had dinner there, and we had our reception, and of course there was, I think, four ladies of our parish that took care of the breakfast, the dinner, and the reception. Mm-hmm. And then that evening we had our wedding dance at Spearville.
Mm-hmm. And then did you have a honeymoon?
Yes, not just a short one, but we didn't have anything particular. Of course, we didn't have much money, mm-hmm. but we visited some of his buddies that were in the service with him.
Where was that? Where
well, in Colorado.
Colorado? Did you ride on the train or car or what?
No, he had his car. And I don't remember what year it was. It was a white Ford. And we ended up like in Oklahoma. I can't remember where. The southeast corner of Oklahoma, because he had it was actually his best, it was his roommate too, best friend on the service. Ardmore, Oklahoma. Yeah. I have to stop and think, everyone.
Well, yeah. We're going back a few years.
Slightly.
And then he was a farmer, or?
Well, no, yes, he was. He was born and raised out here at North Kinsley. But, you know, crops just weren't real good at that time. So, and of course, he was planning on to use all his training from the service, you know, electrical. He worked with, had the airplanes and all that. And he really planned to go to a technical school like in Wichita. But that didn't pan out. So we came out here and we rented a little apartment here, which was not on 9th Street. And it was
this would be here in Kinsley.
Right, yeah, it's right here in town. It was a garage, I think, and converted into an apartment. That building is still there, but I don't know. and then he did go into, like I say, partnership with his brother, Dennis Hatchett, and his mother and stepfather, Urban Havis, and Mary lived out there. But we worked for him, and he did that until I think it was 1952, and then
that was farming.
Yes,
partnership with them. Farming.
Partnership, mm-hmm. And then he went into electrical work in 1952, I believe it was, when Steve was the little one. George Hildenbrand hired him. George was an electrician here. And from there on, that's what Gene did.
Mm-hmm. And you were a homemaker.
Yes, at that time. Uh-huh. I think it was back in, I believe it was in 1956. I did some substitute teaching out at St. Mary's. It was still a little country school after that. And I did some substitute teaching. And then back in 59 and 60, I took a full-time teaching job at Spearville, and I taught there till January 61, I believe.
Right, when Renee was born.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, I think it was. But let me see. Maybe it was just... maybe it was just 60. She was born in 61.
In December, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I was home. I wasn't teaching then. Then I went back to teaching again. Because Jean had been real sick and wasn't able to work for almost 4 months, a good 3.5 months. So then I went to work over at St. Mary's, St. Nicholas, I'm sure. And I taught there 70, 71, 70 and 71, I believe. I don't remember about the 70. Anyway, when Jan was supposed to be in the first grade, I resigned because I said I didn't think I should be teaching my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of it. Until after Gene died.
When did he pass?
He died in August.
August the 26th, 1986.
Uh-huh. And then I went to work January 67 with the school district under the Green Thumb program. Mr. Inman was the principal then, and I stayed with the district, not all the time under the Green Thumb, but I was there with them for at least a year and a half. And I stayed working as a substitute in the library till 97, I think it was. And I'd had some heart problems, so I thought I'd better get out of there, but I didn't want to have any kind of tragedy in front of school children.
So what is the Green Thumb program?
Well, at that time, I think it was anyone that was over 50 or 55, I can't recall for sure, you could they would hire you, and you know, like the school had to be associated with it. And I could work at the school. And I was paid $3.25 an hour. Some people thought that was just terrible, that I had a teaching certificate and I would consider doing something like that. I said, I don't mind, because I said, I can stay right here in town. I won't have the expenses. And I said, that little bit will help me pay some bills. Mm-hmm. And so I stayed with them, and then and they had a policy that after, I think it was a year and a half, maybe, that they would have to discontinue and I had to find another job. And I was fortunate. I always thank the Lord that I was given this opportunity to work for the school district, and I loved it. It was a wonderful, wonderful job. I never, ever regretted having to get up and go to work.
And you were like an aide, or were you the librarian?
Well, I assisted in the library. Mm-hmm. Mr. Streit was the librarian, but he was very, very good, and he was teaching and very busy, but he instructed and showed me how what I was to do, and I will say he gave me a free run of the place.
And you were a Green Thumb for a year and a half, but then you stayed on.
Yes.
For a lot of years.
The school hired me, mm-hmm, under the district then.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did the pay go up? Or?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah. Well, they offered me right away $5. Uh-huh. And then as time went on, they just kept gradually giving me a little raise. Mm-hmm. And I was thankful for every bit of it.
Yeah.
As I said, I just enjoyed their work. I enjoyed the people. I don't think I could have found a happier place to work.
Well, and you had five children. We sort
yes.
of
yes, uh-huh.
glazed over that whole aspect.
They're all scattered except for Jan. Mm-hmm. Jan is real close, and the first grandchildren that I really got to be with and help take care of.
Say, yeah, because you had three girls, four girls, so
yes.
that's
yes.
why girls
uh-huh.
sort of scatters
yes.
quite
right.
often.
Uh-huh. Well, and Kathy is in Grapevine, Texas, and Steve is in Redondo Beach, California, and Renee is in Overland Park, and Mary Jo is down here near Nickerson and works in Hutchison, and Jan is right here, Lewis and Kinsley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've had a very good life.
How do you think, you know, being raised on the farm, being a tomboy and during the Depression and that, how do you think that affected your life or the way you look at life or your philosophy?
Well, I think it probably has taught me to be appreciative and very, very thankful to the Lord for all of everything. Even if sometimes things didn't work out just quite right, something came along and always helped me. There was somebody was guiding me, and I still feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Is there anything else you'd like to put on this tape? Any other?
No, I can't think of anything. I probably have said more than I should.
No, it's been a wonderful interview. I'm trying to think if there's anything I forgot. Do you remember the end of World War II? When?
Oh yes, yes.
Can you describe
do.
That?
Yes, I remember. Especially, I guess it would have been when the end of the Japan. You know, when Japan gave up, mm-hmm. because. Our parish out at St. Mary's had a celebration. We had a big community dinner, you know, mm-hmm. and said prayers of thanksgiving for the Lord, you know, for what we came through, and it had ended. And I don't have anything special to think about when it ended in Europe. I just remember how thankful I was. Just so happy to... felt so bad for all those people who lost soldiers.
Do you remember your brother coming home? The day he came home?
Nothing especially. I just know we were all so thankful that he was able to. He had been so sick. He was so thin. And really, I do feel that it's just almost like a miracle. That's what Mother said to and Dad too, because he was so bad, and he had the after effects of it too. Yeah. I think all of his life he's had kind of an after effects of that terrible illness.
Mm-hmm.
It does something to the body.
Mm-hmm. And then your son probably was not in the service, Stephen?
No.
Yeah. I can tell by his, you know, he's sort of in between.
Yes.
Wars.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, let me think. Is there anything else? I mean, we could do more detail about your kids and things.
No, that is.
But okie dokie. Well, thank you very much. I'm going to stop this.
Thank you.
I hope.